Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. We got a super special episode for you guys. They just killed this buck this morning, and we got the story. I just kind of wanted you guys to hear it. It's a pretty quick little cool story, and then Tavin goes into some other tips and tactics and stories about the strip. Awesome episode. You're not going to want to miss it. I really appreciate Tavin getting on such short notice, and he's got more deer out there that they need to go kill, so I really appreciate his time. Before we start, I just want to thank one of our sponsors for the podcast, Ryder Industries, RYDR. And it's like a gun clamp that you put into your seat, the side of your seat, and it will hold your gun so it doesn't bounce around or the scope doesn't get bumped or anything, so that in the moment of truth, your gun's ready to go. Anyways, I appreciate you guys listening again, and let's go ahead and get right into it.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. This is a pretty cool episode. We have Tavin Fells, and they just killed an absolute giant out there on the strip. And then I just kind of wanted to talk to him too about how this year is looking and a few other things about the strip. Tavin's been around a ton of big bucks, and seems like anytime he shows up, something special happens. So I'm excited to talk to him. So thanks for getting on, Tavin.
Hey, thank you. I don't know about all that, but I appreciate it.
Oh, whatever. You probably put your hands on more bucks than a lot, most anyone else. So I'm excited to pick your brain and hear some stories.
It's good to be lucky, that's for sure.
So for the listeners who maybe don't really know, Tavin guides for Clay Bundy out there on the strip, right?
Yep. I've done so for, I think this will be my sixth or seventh year, so it's been a minute.
You've been out there a while.
Yeah, I have. It's gone by fast.
You must like it out there all right.
Oh, yeah, it's an incredible place.
Are you mainly just helping on that 13A and B hunt, or do you guys do anything else?
You know, we do. I mean, I mainly am running 13A and 13B. Clay does do 12A and 12B, and he looks there a little more than I do or the rest of us do. But yeah, for the main part, I'm focusing on 13A and B still.
I see. That makes sense. Well, I mean, I kind of wanted to talk about a bunch of different things, but maybe if you're okay with it, we can get right into that buck that you guys just barely killed. Do you mind kind of just going into that a little bit, how it all went down?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
How you guys found them and...
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we just killed him today, actually, this morning. So it's pretty fresh.
Wow.
Still.
Yeah.
So we have the auction tag, obviously. Cliff Finlay bought it. He bought it at the Hunt Expo in 2023, and so it started August 15, 2023, and we had till August 14, 2024, which is coming up next week, to kill a deer. And we looked over a lot of deer last year, nothing that really – I mean, we killed a few really good deer, but nothing that really stood out to what Cliff wanted. Coming on this year, we were pretty optimistic with the moisture that we had received down there. It seemed really spotty in the summer months, or in the early summer months, late spring months of where the moisture was hitting. And we were pretty optimistic, but we just decided that we were going to grind it out and see what we couldn't turn up. So we just kind of all started splitting up and hitting our places. And my brother Payson, actually, he found this deer on June 26th. He saw this deer, and we knew from then that he was going to be a special deer. We weren't quite sure.
Gee, that's early.
Yeah. We weren't quite sure how special he was going to be. You know, so we kept going down and checking on him and seeing the progress. And I'm sure, as everyone will see when we start posting videos. We have videos showing from where you really first started to grow into a little more grown out, and then to right this morning when we killed him. So, you know, so Cliff decided that this was the buck he wanted to go after, and so we got the team together, and we went down in there. Today was the first day we went down in there, and right off the bat, we had the buck glassed up, and, you know, it's kind of some open country, and it's just kind of some, I mean, it's easy to see them, but a little tougher to kill them, if that makes sense, in this country, but,
yeah.
So, anyways, we found the deer early and right at daylight, and found him on a ridge, and, you know, we didn't want to rush it. We have 2 weeks. We kind of just wanted to watch him and make sure that the plan was perfect to get him killed, and he bedded within 300 yards from where we first seen him, and there was just the perfect shooting knob right across from him, 300 yards, and so...
Jeez!
Yeah, so we got the whole team there, and Clay's with Cliff, Clay himself, and the rest of us are up on knobs, and he kind of went out of sight for the first guys that seen him, which was my brother, my other brother, Parker, and then me and my other brother, Payson, and we snuck around and got up on a different hill, and we had eyes on him bedded, and we're like, it's just too perfect of a situation to not kill him, you know? So we got him in there, and he had him, I think he's 350 yards bedded, and I mean, he knocked his socks off first shot, just hammered him. And
that sounds picture perfect.
Yeah, I'm sure that video will be posted sometime soon as well, because it's a pretty sweet video. you know, and then just walking up on deer like that, it's next level, you know, especially when they've got mass like this deer, 52 inches of mass. It's next level walking up on a deer like that. So
did he surprise you a little bit about, like, how big he was? Like, were you guys expecting over 50 inches of mass? Or
no.
I mean, that's kind of hard to expect.
100%. So we were thinking, like, around 46, in that 46 to 47. And then, I mean, obviously, when we walked up on him, we were like, oh, he's going to have more mass than we thought, for sure. He's just a great, I mean, he's just a big deer. It's hard to look at other deer when you're hunting, when you kill a deer like that, you know? It's just,
yeah,
lucky.
For sure. So, I think I saw it on Instagram, but what did he end up going? I can't remember what it said. Like two.
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know if it said, but it was 234 was what he was.
Okay.
At the end, so. Yep.
Jeez. That's incredible. I just can't even imagine, like, the pressure on you guys on a tag like that, especially going the first growth year without killing and then being like, all right, we probably have about 14 days that they're going to be pretty much done to hunt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, and then you add taking trail cameras out of it, which it's been a few years, so we're getting used to it. But, I mean, it's just nice to look back on those times and think about, you know, what could we have right now if we were running trail cameras? You know, like, what else, what's out there? I mean, we can run all day. We can track deer. We can spotlight. I mean, but you're never going to see, I mean, you're never even going to see anywhere close to what you were with trail cameras. I mean, we're seeing a sliver probably of what's actually out there, if that makes sense.
Right. So I kind of imagine that adds to the pressure, because you don't want your guy shooting a 230 buck if there's two 280 bucks out there. But you,
100%.
I mean, without trail cameras, it's like there could be. But with trail cameras, you're like, I pretty much know 70, 80% of the deer out there.
Right. I mean, there was always some deer that went through the cracks, correct. But, you know, and there very well could be deer like that out there, and somebody may kill them in the rifle hunter, in the archery hunter. They may luck into one, or they may go find one that we haven't found, you know. But that's, without cameras, that's just the name of the game. And to be honest with you, it makes it kind of fun. Pretty stressful, but it does make it fun.
Yeah, so it seems, I mean, at least to me, like not as many people spend as much time as you guys out there, like especially Clay. It seems like he's out there, whether it be with cows or something, that almost every day. Like, do you feel like you guys, do you feel like that's kind of separated some of the guides from the others? I mean, it seemed like when there's trail cameras, anyone could be a guide out there. They just go throw 20 cameras down and they should have a buck to hunt.
100%. And I mean, I think it's been, I think it's been pretty clear over the last couple of years, the outfitters that do spend time out there. I mean, there's a few outfits that put the time in out there, and it's showing, you know? But yeah, I mean, between me and my brothers and Clay, we're looking, we have guys that are scouting, looking for deer 6 days a week.
Jeez.
So we're trying to cover it as much as we possibly can. And that is mainly 13 A and B. We're just running it. I mean, you had a tag, you killed a giant deer. You know how giant that country is out there. Just B itself, let alone covering all of A too.
Yeah. So, I can't even imagine. I just remember how like intimidating it was to be like, I want to try to find one of the best deer in the unit. It's like, there's no way I can cover a,
I do that
a
every
fraction
year. Yeah, I do that. Yeah. I do that every year. It's
crazy.
So giant. And you're just, you know, and just B is so giant. And then you throw A on top of that, and it's even bigger. And it's like, oh my goodness, how are we going to cover all this? But you just got to put your head down and get to work, you know?
Yeah. So, like, will you kind of run us through maybe, like, your scouting, like, kind of how you do it? Like, are you guys kind of splitting up country? And like, with no trail cameras, like, are you sitting on a knob, like, twice and being like, there's no deer once? Are you sitting on it, like,
so that's
kind of depends?
Right. And so that right there, the end, that's been the biggest thing is it's like, you know, if you think about back in trail camera days, you could have a giant deer on a trail camera, and you go in there three or four times and you don't see him. Well, you know he's there because he's on trail camera, or without it, how many times do you got to look at one place before you know for sure that there's nothing giant in there? And that's something you'll never know unless you see it, you know? You just got to keep going back and keep looking things over that you've already looked at. I mean, a typical day for us, yeah, we split up. We try to split up into groups so that you can kind of cover one area better.
Okay.
And so what we do a lot of, I mean, we do a lot of, obviously, glassing first thing in the morning. And then we will check ponds, see if there's any big tracks hitting there that want to keep us in the area, and if they look fresh enough, you know, we'll take them and maybe go try to see the deer. And then you kind of do a little napping during the day, because at night, a lot of nights we're spotlighting all night long, because deer are going to be on their feet, you know. So, yeah, there's not much sleep involved, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. And, I mean, then that makes sense. That's when they're moving, and that's when you're – probably have the best chance to see something that you're not going to see when you're glassing. So
exactly. And you know, we've found it pretty effective, but I still to this day think the most effective thing without trail cameras is just getting on a knob and digging them out of some country. I think that's still the most effective way to find them.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So kind of like to that point, like what do you think this year's looking like out there? Like, you kind of feel like it's an average year, maybe above average, below?
I'd say it's right around average, which, you know, for us, it's like, oh, I'd love an above average year, but I mean, we're talking about the strip here. So your around average year is going to be better than most places' average.
Yeah.
Or most places' best, I should say. Sorry, if that makes sense.
You're still going to be hunting 200 plus inch deer.
Yes. Yep.
For the most part.
And there's deer. I mean, there's deer like that this year. So, for sure.
Dang, that's exciting.
It's not like that.
Sounds like
drought year of 18 when there was like 3 or 4 200 inch deer killed. It's definitely not like that. So.
Thank goodness. That would not be
miserable.
That's sweet. So I assume you guys are pretty booked up this year. You guys have archery and rifle hunters.
Yep. We're pretty well completely booked out. So
that's sweet. So
yeah, it's
maybe if you're okay with it, do you mind telling us another story from last year? There's that big buck you posted on your Instagram. I don't think I ever heard the story of that. Do you know which one of the big velvet buck?
Let's see. Let me go to my Instagram. The deer with Marty?
Yeah.
Yes. So, for sure, that's one of my favorite bucks so far in my career. So, yeah, I'd love to share that story. So that one started as kind of the same way. In 2022, Marty had bought the auction tag, and we had a couple deer that we really liked and we looked at, and one we hunted, and he disappeared for a long time, and he ended up showing back up right in the middle of the rifle hunt and got killed by one of our guys, actually. And so that kind of put us into going into 2023. I mean, obviously we kept looking, didn't find anything that really met Marty's expectations or our expectations as well of what we wanted for that auction tag.
Yeah.
And so we got to go in the next, or 2023, we got going that year, and we had seen a few really good deer that really caught our attention, and there was one buck that had caught our attention that we really wanted to keep looking at. Well, one night, one evening, Clay decided he's going to go look for that buck. Well, he went into this area and looked for that buck, and, well, guess what he found was this other buck. He went in looking
no
for one
way.
Buck and ended up finding this other buck. And this other buck kind of just, Clay sent the video, and we all just kind of knew, hey, this is our buck right here that we've been looking for. This is the one that
right.
we didn't want to kill. And, you know, so with that came kind of just waiting for him to get grown out. There was another auction tag still in place at the time that hadn't killed, so we were kind of just not really wanting to go into the area too much, but still wanting to keep tabs on the deer. So we were just kind of trying to play it safe and just go in and check on him every once in a while and not be hounding him in there, you know, just kind of wanting him to stay
where he was. So the other auction tag was someone else. You guys didn't have it.
No, that was with another outfitter. So, yeah, we kind of
so
just
you had to try to keep him out of there.
Yeah, so we kind of just tried to stay out of the area. Yeah. And then, so he finally got to the point, we sent Marty the videos and told him what our thoughts were. And he said, I love that deer. He's my favorite deer you guys have shown me yet. Let's kill him. And so basically that one, we went in there. Yeah, we went in there the first day on that one, and we kind of all split up, and, you know, the sun came up and an hour had gone by and nobody was saying anything. And I was like, where could this deer be hiding? That's what we're all thinking. Well, I had picked up a doe, just a lone doe by herself about 30 minutes before I'm thinking this. And I'm just happened to look back over at the doe to see if she's still kind of hanging out, you know. Well, back behind her, I see some movement on the next ridge behind her, and I'm like, oh, well, there's another deer back there. And he steps out, and
no
at this
way.
Point, Yeah, I mean, at this point, we hadn't seen him for, I mean, to this completely grown out stage that he was at. We hadn't seen him. So at that time, I mean, I was in my glass. I was like, oh, yeah, we need to kill this deer now. And so I get Clay on the radio and get the team notified, and everybody's kind of getting in their positions to where they can see into the where, so the deer, you know, if he jumps or bumps or whatever, somebody's got eyes on him. And we get Clay in there, and we're all, you know, kind of working it with our angles and talking to Clay about what we see from our angles. And we just did, I just got to say right there, but that is the one thing about this, about our whole team, is they're very, very good communicators, and they know what they're talking about, and they're passionate about what they're talking about, and everybody just kind of seems to know what the other person's seeing by the way they say things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big deal.
No, yeah, it is. It's that kills more deer than anything, is the team being able to communicate about what they're seeing and trying to help, you know, if it's an auction tag like this, trying to help Clay to see what he can see. And I mean, Clay's phenomenal. I think he has a photographic memory, because he can be back on a ridge and look at something, and he'll get over there and know exactly where he was looking at, even though it's a completely different angle than where he just was. It's pretty incredible to watch and to learn from that. But so
yeah, I bet.
Anyway,
I bet.
Yeah. Anyways, we get him in there, and Clay's got Marty in there walking. They're walking up this ridge, and the deer's kind of feeding right towards them. So we just let him know, hey, when you get to that top of that ridge, you're going to be ready to shoot, because he'll be right there. And sure enough, they pop up at the top of the ridge, and the deer's standing there at 250 yards. And he knows something's up. He's kind of looking at him, but he gave Marty enough time to put a bullet in and sink one right in his chest. And he ran about 100 yards and maybe not even that, but tipped over dead. And that's probably been my most,
jeez,
that's probably been like the most impressive all around deer I've ever walked up on. Like,
really?
That deer,
just
that deer
a little bit of everything.
Yeah. He surprised all of us. I mean, he had so much mass that everything was longer than we thought. You know, mass hides length a little bit. And so walking up on him, we figured he was a mid 240s buck is what we had figured. And walking up on him, I just remember me and my brothers looking at each other, and we're like, yeah, he's 250 plus. And yeah, he was 262. So
no way. That's incredible.
I think he had a 213 or 215 inch frame, and then the rest was, he had trash, he had some extra eye guards. You know, he's just one of those deer that's just a once in a lifetime type deer for sure.
Yeah, I'd say that's incredible. I can't even imagine like seeing him on the hoof, like you said, like first time you've seen him fully grown, just kind of walking out from behind that doe. I bet that was just incredible.
It was, yeah, and that's something, like, I have a video clip, I think, I don't know if I've posted it, maybe I have. Anyways, that's, like, one memory that's kind of just burnt into my mind, you know, because just like you, and just like probably everybody that'll listen to this podcast, we all just love big deer. There's nothing that comes close to big deer, and that's, when you get
right,
an opportunity, when you get an opportunity to see one like that, that's something you don't forget very soon, you know?
Yeah, that's so cool. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So
sure.
you've had like the chance to be around a lot of hunters. You guide a lot of hunters. I kind of wanted to ask you too, like in a client, like what are some attributes in a client that you see that you're like, okay, like we have a real chance to kill something special, versus like, oh shoot, like this guy might be kind of hard.
My thing, so that's a good question. So I was actually, me and my brothers were talking about this the other day, and I'm sure, you know, you've interviewed some other strip guides who are, you know, very good guides as well. And they'd probably, they'd probably tell you the same thing. The thing is with that, I think, is when you come to the Strip, if you want a chance of killing something special and you're okay with grinding it out for 7, 8, 9 days, you need to be, you got to be okay with not seeing many deer. That's just how it is. You know, it's not like some of these Utah units that you're going to go see 40 head of deer in a day. That's just not how the Strip is.
Right.
You've got to be okay, and you've got to not, with not seeing a lot of deer, and you've got to not question your guide. If your guide's going back to the same place every day and you're thinking he's insane, well, there's probably a good reason why. There's probably a good reason why you're in there. So just trusting your guide, and you've got to find it that you don't have to see. If you're after a truly big deer, you don't have to see a lot of deer to have a successful hunt. Because the way I look at it, if I set a goal for, say, you know, say a 200-inch deer is my goal, I don't care mm-hmm. to go see 25, 170 bucks. I don't care
right.
to see a deer until it's the one I want to kill. Everything else is just in, you know, out the window. So that's not important. If you have a goal, you've got to be okay with not taking the time to want to go see these other caliber of smaller deer and younger deer that doesn't interest you. You know, that's the biggest thing for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that's super good advice. And I think I could take that advice. Like I kind of actually did that last year. Like I had a goal of killing a really big deer, and I had a big deer found. I already told this on another episode, but then like I only saw like does for like 7 days straight, and then I kind of folded and I was like, okay, I'm going to go try this spot where I know I'll probably see deer. And then I killed a deer that I wasn't after because I got excited and saw a buck. But I think that's the key to killing like a next level deer is being able to stick it out and find a, yeah.
And yeah, no, I agree. But you've killed big deer. So, I mean, I you've proven that you kill big deer as well, but just an example of it. A couple years ago, I had a client, on 13A, and he actually had never killed a deer before, and he drew a Strip tag, and he was an older gentleman, but he had never killed a deer before. And he had a goal set of, I want to say his goal was 190 or 195. And so I had seen a couple bucks earlier that year that in an area that I knew, you know, like we can surpass this goal, meet this goal or surpass it with the couple bucks I know of in this area. And so we went in there and hunted, and, you know, the first day we're kind of working some ridges, and I pick up a absolute stud of a typical. I mean, he was a 205, 210-inch typical right in there. And 200, yeah, we had him at 250 yards, and he missed, which is part of it, you know, but hey, that's okay. But let's not feel sorry for yourself. Let's get back to work. And so we got back to it, and we turned that buck up a couple more times over the next couple days, and it just never quite worked out. And there was like, I want to say 3 days left that he was there, and he said, I think we should go try a new area. And I said, the issue with a new area is, I said, it's the rut, everything's moving. Like, we're already five days into this area. We know this buck's mm-hmm. here. We're going to stay after him if you want to meet that goal. And he kind of sat for a minute and thought about it. And he said, yeah, you're right. Let's stick after it. And there, we hunted the whole next day, didn't see a deer. And then the next day we ended up, one of our guys ended up, it was in their spotting for me, ended up picking up a buck that he called me on the radio and said, hey, we need to look at need you to come look at this deer. And we went over and looked at it, and I was like, it's like, absolutely, we need to go kill that deer. And so we got up in there and ended up getting in tighter than we wanted to, but it worked out. I ended up picking him up in his bed at like 125 yards, but he was facing the other way, so it ended up perfect. And we killed him, and he was he's like 213 or 214, somewhere right in there. And you know, it was that guy said, I'm glad that we stayed persistent on hunting this area. It wasn't even the same buck that he missed. We ended up killing that one too, but later the next year. But he was just he was so glad we stayed persistent, because it ended up he surpassed his goal, and he was ecstatic, you know. And that's just how it's going to have to be if you have a goal. You know, if you have a goal of a 200-inch deer, you got to hunt a 200-inch deer where he is, not where you want him to be.
Yeah, no, I think that last part you said, too, is just, like, perfect advice. Like, because there's so many times you romanticize about where a big buck should be, or you want him, you're seeing all these deer, so you're like, there should be a big buck in here. But most times they're just on the off-the-wall, like, weird places, so you just got to hunt them where they are. And I think that's really good advice. And I kind of think that's been a theme with like these guys who are consistently killing big bucks like you, is just like sticking it out, grinding it out. And I think one thing I kind of learned on my strip hunt with you guys is it's not really like fun to hunt big bucks, if that makes sense. Like a lot of times it's like, it's hard work, but then once it actually comes together, it's like the best thing ever. And you like, at least me, like I crave it now. Like I just crave like walking up to that 220-inch deer again. Like I want something like that again.
Oh, I mean, how could you not? I mean, especially like your deer, which I look at that picture every day. That's a dream deer. I mean, the frame, the extras, he's a dream deer. The mass, he's everything that you could ask for in a deer. And I think that, you know, I think that sparks it for a lot of people. I mean, I remember, you know, being young and hunting with my grandpas and my uncle, and they were always killing a good caliber of deer, and walking up on that. And I mean, that's just, it sparked it at a young age. And then from there, you know, you kind of take it to the next level with going to the strip and being able to be lucky enough to put your hands on, you know, some of the deer that I've been able to, and others that guide out there have been able to. It's just it's an incredible opportunity, and it's something that you can't take for granted, because there's not a lot of other places in the world where you get to hunt deer like that.
Yeah, for sure. It's a special place out there. So,
it is. It's one of a kind.
So I kind of wanted to ask you too. I mean, like, now that you've been out there guiding so like multiple years, like, what's something you know now that if you would have known like at the first, you might have maybe even killed more big bucks?
One would probably be the sticking it out. That's something that I've kind of had to learn. I mean, obviously you got to learn things as you go. Being a patient glasser, like, I think one thing that I used to do a lot of is, and there's still nothing wrong with it, and I still do it from time to time, but glassing and moving, instead of just getting on a spot and trusting your gut that, you know, there's going to be something here, and digging one up out of his bed. I think that's another one, being a patient glasser. And then I think that, you know, I heard Jason Carter say this a long time ago, and then Clay says it all the time as well. And I think this is probably the biggest one for me is, if you're hunting deer of these caliber, and you know, you got your client with you, you're hunting, you got to kill it when you see it. That's just, he may be gone the next day. I mean, he might not be right back in here. So when you see that deer, you've got to kill him.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
For an example, that same year you killed your buck, a couple days later we killed another buck in there. And
mm-hmm.
we got looking at the pictures, and we had videoed that buck that summer 26 miles from there. So who knows if he was going to keep moving, you know? Like, you just got to kill them when you see them because you don't know when they're going to go.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. No, I think that's some super good advice. And then I kind of wanted to go into, like, your glassing a little bit. You talked about that. Like, are you staying on a point? I mean, let's say it's at the actual hunt now. Like, are you staying on a point all day long, or what are you doing with that?
Kind
of following the shadows, or
it depends on the area that I'm hunting. But yeah, if I'm in an area, I can sit on a knob all day and follow shadows and try to get something found, bedded down, or something that's up and moving. You know, absolutely. I mean, that's glassing's my favorite thing to do. I could glass all day long, but yeah, I'd say on a typical day though, like on a rifle hunt, I would probably glass till 10 or 11, and then
okay,
and then at that point is when I'm gonna go start, you know, working ridges, and by that I mean, you know, I'm gonna go get on a ridge and try to look down into a little hole that they could be bedded in, and just slowly working ridges. But I'm glassing while I'm working ridges, you know. And obviously, I mean, it's talked about all the time now, but the quality of glass is a big one for me as well. And my favorite thing in the world is just a pair of Swarovski 15x56s. But I also have a pair of Koa 77 spotters that I have set up is like a big eye. And
okay,
that's
what I have too. Like the Adams
incredible
adapter.
Yep, exactly. That's the exact setup I have.
I love those.
Now that I'm saying it, I'll have to look at them. I think mine might be 88s because they're ginormous.
Okay.
And they're heavy, but they're so worth it when you're up on a big knob. But that's. And I was always a Swaro guy, and everybody's eyes are different, but for me, there's nothing better than the new Koa spotters, or Kawa, or however you say it.
I like those a lot, but I think I'm kind of like you. I usually just use my Swaro binoculars. Like, I can look through those all day, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, they're just so clear, and I feel like I see like the flicker of an ear, a foot walking through some thick trees better in my Swirl 50s, 15x56s than I do my big eyes, just because I feel like I can see more, you know.
Yeah, and then your first part about that. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Oh, I was just gonna say your first part about that answer is just like sticking it out, and I think I kind of know what you would say, but like when you're doing that, like what keeps you out there? What keeps you, I guess, like hunting a buck if you haven't seen him for 3, 4, 5 days? Like, what keeps you motivated?
The look that I've had of the deer before.
yeah.
I mean, here's an example of that in 2020. We hunted a deer with an auction tag, actually. And at this time, you could have cameras, and we did. And every once every few days, we'd get a picture. But, I mean, you would have thought that we were insane. What do they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, and we were just doing that.
Yeah.
And we hunted this deer for 2 weeks, no sightings. One possible bump right after dark, walking back to the truck off the glassing knob. And looking back at it, we didn't know it was him. But then after we knew what his track looked like, we were pretty sure it was him. And we stuck it out. We stuck it out for this deer. There was a another deer or two that we probably could have pulled off and hunted, but this deer had, I mean, you know how it is when you find a big deer, he just has you mesmerized and there's nothing else you can think about. And this
right.
deer had that on us, you know, he had that on us, and we hunted him for 2 weeks and we ended up seeing what his track looked like and tracked him a few miles and bumped him out of his bed, and he went out into some different country and bedded down in some more killable country, and we snuck in there and killed him. And I mean, he was a 250-inch deer. He was, as a 5x6, a 250-inch deer, one of the biggest
Jeez.
Deer ever. But you know, it's really that, and then like learning that, like you can tell people that over and over and over, but you never know if that's actually gonna, you know, stick until you've seen it done yourself, like on that deer. And there's a few deer before that we may not have hunted that long, but like it showed me that, hey, sticking it out and going after a deer that you know about and you know's big, like it will more often than not it'll work out in your favor. And that deer may move. He 100% could move, but he'll come back, you know, like he'll come back. He may be in a seven day pattern that takes him out of your sight for those 7 days, but guess what? On the eighth day, he's back. I mean, you just got to stay persistent.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. I like the story to kind of illustrate that too. Like, you kind of just go off of past successes and you know that it's worked in the past and you just need to stick it out and your reward will be there.
I mean, even now there's times where I'm like, what am I doing? You know, but then I think back to that and I'm like, no, we're going to stick it out. And it usually ends up working. And I actually got, you know, another story on that, if you want to hear that or if you have time or.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'd love to.
So my archery hunt last year, we had a couple bucks we were hunting and we got in on the one the first day and there was a missed shot at 50 something yards and we were kind of like, well, he's going to be here. Well, we kept going back 4 or 5 days, you know, we went back and we had a couple more missed shots and a couple missed stalks and it was not looking like it was going to work out. And one day, you know, we decided we decided we're going to go look at some different country. So we're out looking at different country and we're seeing some bucks and they're not the caliber of bucks that we're over there hunting and the one that we missed, you know? And so we kind of looked at each other and came together and we're like, what are we doing? We know the deer that we should be hunting. Like let's stay on him and let's get him killed. And it took four or five more days, you know, but eventually that deer gave this guy another opportunity and he made the most of it and ended up killing him. And he was, you know, he was a 223-inch archery buck. So,
Jeez.
Just
so, what, like, persistent. What is your guys' what is your guys' average each year? Like,
I don't know. I don't know the
answer. You guys do
yet.
Stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know, every once, you know, we will, and then I just forget, but I know a few years ago, our average was, for that year, was 227 or somewhere right in there. And I think that's the year you killed your deer.
Yeah, I think so, because I remember my deer was like below the average, like, score, and I was like, holy crap.
I think we, you know, and I can't remember if we added auction tags into that, because that year we killed a 259 buck and a 271 buck with auction tags. And then I'm trying to think, archery, we killed a 226 buck that year. And then rifle hunt, we killed, I mean, 19 was unreal. We killed multiple deer over 220.
Yeah, that year was crazy. There's 200-inch deer everywhere.
There was. And there actually, I mean, as stupid as it was, you were almost passing. Yeah. you're almost passing 210-inch deer, you know, and it's just like, this is stupid.
Yeah, I remember there's like $3, like 195 to probably like 210 on one water, and we're like, we're not even going to hunt those deer.
Yeah, it was insane, and now it's like old, you know, you think back, and you're like, oh, the good old days of 2019.
Yeah, crazy. Well, I really appreciate you getting on kind of short notice. I just wanted to kind of hear that story of that buck you guys killed this morning and then just kind of hear your outlook. And I think there's a lot to learn from you. So I think there's some really good stuff to take from this episode. So I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you, you know, and I just leave with back around to where we were of if you're ever in doubt, just stay persistent because it'll work out. Keep going back.
Hey guys, thanks again for listening to the Dirty Giants podcast. We'll have some more episodes for you guys soon. The hunts are coming up. I think we're all getting excited. Hopefully we can all put down a Dirty Giants.